Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
About to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOCDALI. Some of you guys might see me kind of, you know, racing to work or, you know, racing to, I don't know, dinner. I get hungry. And you're like, gosh, you know what, police are on her tail. No, I just kind of put the pedal to the metal, and I shouldn't do that. And I do follow traffic laws just in case any cops are like, oh, let's give her a ticket. Can't give you a ticket. I didn't do anything. But police chases or police pursuits or high-speed chases kind of seem to be happening a lot these days. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there was like one in L.A. today and one yesterday. By the way, big shout-out to local Fox 5 News for alerting us on Facebook that there was a high-speed chase, so we were able to go and watch it. Sky News out of L.A. seems to do a really good job covering them in L.A. I don't really watch all of them that happen in other parts of the state, but definitely in California. California just seems to be a hotbed of high-speed car chases, which kind of makes you wonder, because for those of us who've lived in L.A., where do you drive unobstructed? There's always traffic. You can't do a high-speed car chase on the 101. You can't really do it on the 110. You can't do it on the 210. You can't do it on the 605. You can't really do it on the 405. You can't do, I mean, there's not really the 5 even. I mean, there's not really a lot of places within L.A. proper for you to do a high-speed car chase. It's just, there's traffic. I don't get it. But whenever I watch these high-speed car chases, they seem to be usually in the morning or during the daytime as opposed to nighttime. And maybe it's because that's when I'm up. And they just seem to have, like, unobstructed ways to drive. Now, I don't know what happened. I think yesterday's high-speed car chase, somebody didn't yield at a stop sign, and that's how it all started. And then a cop starts following him or wanted to pull him over, and then I guess they decided to run. And so by the time I started watching it, it was an SUV. It was a gray SUV. It was going down the highway, and I'm looking at I'm, like, jealous. Like, I've never gotten to drive on the highway. They were going towards Long Beach. Or they were coming from Long Beach. I'm, like, going towards the airport. How many of us have been stuck for hours in traffic going to the airport to LAX? I'm like, how the hell is this person being so lucky on a weekday? Weekday! I don't get it. It's almost like you just got to wonder if cars, maybe they're like, you know what, I hear there's a high-speed car chase, let me just kind of, you know, avoid the freeway. You know, and maybe it's because the cops are starting to kind of block off the freeway. I don't know, you know, because apparently 60,000 of these happen a year, by the way. 60,000, from what I understand from some of the statistics, happen these high-speed car chases. Unfortunately, we'll see, like, at least 1,000 injuries, possibly, fatal car accidents as a result. So the cops have their hands full when somebody stupid doesn't decide to pull over. You know, when the cops say, you know, pull over, you're going to get a ticket or whatever. And what was really scary about this one is apparently there were kids in the car. And the guy from Sky News was discussing how there might be, you know, kids in the car, that the car is full of other people. And fortunately, the car pulled over to drop off the family. The family was probably like, stop this, get us out of here. So you see a woman get out, you see a man get out, and then you see another man get out with a baby in an infant carrier. Then you see the man get back at the car, the driver, try to back away from the cops. He feels he couldn't, so he runs. And I'm thinking, what did this guy do? You know, did he try to shoot the president? I mean, what did he do? And I find out really it was because he didn't want to stop at a traffic stop. Well, they might have had, you know, previous arrests or warrants or whatever. Warrants out for his arrest. But he tries to run and outrun the police. He can't outrun the police. But what's also interesting is, I mean, I don't know if they know that we're watching. You know, that there's helicopters and there's footage. And see, I don't want people watching me when I drive, you know, because I might be like, you know, rubbing my nose or straightening my bra or scratching or something, you know. I mean, I don't want to think that I'd be on national TV. And so if for some reason I, you know, like do a California stop somewhere and I don't stop like I should, and you guys find out that there's cops, you know, because sometimes I might not be, that's my biggest fear. My biggest fear is somebody's going to think that I'm fleeing from the cops, and I'm not. It's just my music is on loud and I don't hear the sirens. I tell you this, the very first time I was ever pulled over, I had no idea the cop was behind me. I was driving into the EPA on campus. The EPA had a kind of a, you had to use your car key in order to get into the parking area. So I rolled down my window to use my car key, and oh my gosh, the honk from the cop was so loud. I still have hearing damage from it. And I had no idea that the cop was following me for a mile or two. I had no idea because my music was on so loud and, you know, I was concentrating on the road. I wasn't seeing lights. So that's my biggest fear, that I won't realize the cop's behind me the whole time. And by the way, I'm not, you know, I don't look the way I used to, so I can't be like, oh, I'm sorry, officer. You know, now I'm older than most officers, so I'm not going to be able to get myself out of it. But, you know, what are people thinking? I mean, if a cop is pulling you over, and I get it. I get it. Many people are fearful of cops. They're afraid that, you know, it might turn bad. And again, you know, I've told you guys, you know, what to do if you get pulled over. You know, hands on 2 and 10. Just sit there. You know, just you know, don't look like you're reaching into your pocket. Just sit there. Hands on the wheel when they come up. They will walk you through what they want you to do with driver registration, things like that. And I know people are worried about itchy trigger fingers, but you know, there's a way to get through a traffic stop that should hopefully be safe. But you know, seeing people run with babies in the car, you know, because they don't want to be pulled over, you're not going to outrun the police. What are they thinking? Now, is it that they're high? Is it that, you know, they think their car is fast? I mean, don't they realize that these cops have, you know, they have CBs, right? You know, they have radios. They can radio to somebody. What blows my mind when I watch these high-speed car chases is you see the car, you're following the car, they're weaving in and out of traffic, and then all of a sudden there's another cop that throws the spikes on the road to, you know, to have, that's what happened this morning, because they have a flat tire. And you think for a second, how did that cop know to get there and to be able to, because again, somebody told them. They go, all right, guys, my guess is they all have them in the car. So you have cops, you know, ahead of where the driver is, so then they can, you know, go, okay, he's going down this street or he's going down this street. But I mean, it is really a concerted effort. And like I said, you know, people who are unfortunately escaping the police, they might start to accumulate more crimes or cause more damage. A lot of times the police, there's an art to it. They will not try to detain you in a residential area with lots of cars and people around because they don't know if the guy's going to start shooting. So they're going to want to detain you in an open area, which is kind of why some people do start driving around the residential area because they don't think they're going to be stopped there. But eventually the car stops. What you thinking? Come on, man. 1-877-9000, don't go away. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have kids or grandkids or students who have boo-boos? We all do. And sometimes we need to take care of the cut, the fever, the burn, the tummy ache before we get to a medical provider. Well, me and other physicians have created an easy guide called The Art of the Boo-Boo. The Art of the Boo-Boo helps you with easy bite-sized chapters and guides you through the most common issues infants and kids face. Get it on Amazon or on my website at drdahlia.com at a very low price. Give it to your teacher or family as gifts. The Art of the Boo-Boo. We make it easy. Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
At 58 years of age, I noticed a dramatic energy decline. After a 5-day work week, I had to use one of my days off to rest and recover. I also had cut my gym visits down from 3 times a week to 1 a week. Since I began using Green Meadow Whey, my energy level has greatly improved. I no longer have to take a day to recover. I have increased my gym visits back to 3 times a week. I'm actually more active and feeling better now than I have in the last 5 years. It's so nice to wake up in the morning feeling good and ready to go. Before trying Green Meadow Whey, I must have tried every whey protein product on the market, and every one of them caused me bloating, gas, and constipation. I've had no such issues with Green Meadow Whey. In fact, I'm sleeping better, my vision has improved, and surprisingly, my emotional and mental state has also improved. I love what Green Meadow Whey has done for me.
Green Meadow Whey comes from milk derived from grass-pastured cows. To order, call 888-988-3325 or visit greenmeadowwhey.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel for working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, the Dr. Dolly Show. So Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, Zelensky has been hospitalized with COVID-19. He tested positive for coronavirus earlier this week. He announced Monday that he had become infected with the virus, saying he felt good. He promised to self-isolate while continuing to go to work. He is on Twitter. He said, "There are no lucky people for whom COVID-19 does not pose a threat. Despite all the quarantine measures, I received a positive test." He said, "I feel good and take a lot of vitamins, promise to isolate myself, but keep working. I will overcome COVID-19 as most people do. It's going to be fine." He was running a temperature about 99.5 degrees Fahrenheit, although they use Celsius, 37.5 degrees Celsius for him. We call it a fever when it's 100.4, but I run low. A lot of us run low, so I would be burning up at 99, so I'd be calling it a fever for me. and a spokeswoman told the Associated Press that the Ukrainian president's symptoms were originally nothing serious. But he has been moved to a hospital in Kiev because there are better conditions for self-isolation and care for coronavirus patients. Now, some people think that means that maybe things could be turning for the worse. And again, well, we saw what happened with President Trump. You know, I don't know if he was getting horribly worse or he was starting to flirt with low oxygen levels, so they had him admitted to Walter Reed to play it safe. So the Ukrainian president's chief of staff, defense minister, finance minister have also tested positive for the virus, and he has joined other world leaders who have contracted the virus. It's a club. President Trump, British Prime Minister Boris Yeltsin, Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, Russian Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin. So the wave of coronavirus infections still continue to rise. I understand that there's cases, and those cases could be counted more because we have more and ample testing. But the numbers I kind of look out for is the deaths, the COVID-19 deaths, and the hospitalizations. Now, mind you, we are about to go into flu season. Flu is here. I don't believe flu is at the degree yet where it's causing as many deaths as it usually does this time of year. So we're hearing that the daily COVID deaths have spiked to nearly 1,900 for the first time since May. They say infections have hit a record high of 144,000. Hospitalizations surged to 65,000. And I know, you know, people want doctors to say one way or another, well, you know, how do we knock this out? How do we cure this? How do we stop it? Well, we can't give you a definitive answer because we're kind of working with our hands tied. Now, this next story will kind of explain some of this. So there's a cruise on the Caribbean, a Caribbean cruise, that went on to do their cruise. And they tested everybody for COVID. Right? They did exactly what they were supposed to. They tested everybody for COVID. Well, as you and I know, these tests might not be 100%. So, unfortunately, somebody ends up coming down with COVID despite, I think it was 5 days into the trip, despite everybody testing negative for COVID. So this is the Sea Dream. It's carrying 53 passengers and 66 crew, the majority of passengers from U.S. This is according to Sue Bryant, a cruise ship reporter who's aboard the ship. She told the Associated Press that one passenger became sick on Wednesday and forced the ship to return back to Barbados. That's where it had departed on Saturday. The ship still has yet to dock. I think local authorities are currently testing those on board. And this incident marks the first time Sea Dream had resumed its West Indies voyages since the pandemic. The ship was originally scheduled to return to Barbados on Saturday, according to the online itinerary. But the ship had to make several stops to St. Vincent and the Grenadines before turning back. So passengers were required to have a negative PCR test to enter Barbados and underwent another test on the dock administered by the ship's doctor. She said, "We all felt very safe, yet somehow COVID appears to have gotten on board." Neither the Sea Dream nor Barbados government officials immediately returned messages for comment. So you're testing people. You're trying to, you know, you're trying to do the best you can. You're trying to show that you're being diligent and you're isolating and all that. But unfortunately, you can't stop a virus. I mean, this is what will be the probably bane of our fight to this is we're doing everything we're told we're doing. Now, somebody could say, well, you know, you shouldn't be having a cruise ship. You shouldn't be going on a cruise. I'm sorry, 9 months into lockdown, 9 months into, you know, things not going back to the way they were. You know, the average company still needs to function. And I think the average person was like, look, I want to go on vacation. I mean, obviously these people that took the test were like, I'm done with staying home. Me, I'm probably not going to go on a cruise for a while. Not that I'm afraid of COVID, but I'm just afraid of being stuck on a ship like we saw what happened in Japan, where you were forced to be on the ship for, was it the Princess? For weeks, and you weren't allowed off. That's my fear, because when I do a trip, I mean, I calculate it to the hour on when I could get back to work. And, yeah, I could probably broadcast from the ship and things like that. But, I just need to know that I could get home. I could get home to the pets. I could get home to the family. So for me, I just don't want to take the risk of being stuck on a ship in quarantine. And then the longer you're on quarantine, the more you can be exposed to other things. So it's just not good. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Now, we're being told that there is a, quote, black market created around the world for travelers testing negative for COVID-19 to enter countries. Apparently, there are people trying to get work, and there's fake tests that they could take. There's a black market for negative COVID-19 tests. Oh, we knew this was coming. And it allows travelers then to, quote unquote, prove their negative status before entering the country. In France, 7 people were arrested last week for allegedly hawking doctored coronavirus tests at Charles de Gaulle International Airport. The Associated Press had reported that the suspects were not identified, and they were charging up to $360 for the fake tests. Authorities tracked the ring down after finding a man bound for Ethiopia with a fake test. The alleged scammers face up to 5 years of prison if convicted. So not smart to get bootleg tests. South America, Brazilian officials arrested 4 tourists who gave fake tests after they flew into an island chain off the coast of the country that requires travelers to show negative test results. In England, a man told a local newspaper that he was able to travel to Pakistan by using a friend's negative COVID-19 test and changing his name. He said you could simply get their negative test, change the name and birthday to your own. You could also put a test date on it within the time limit required. Now, he didn't want to be named, but this is what he told a news source. He says you download the email, you change it, and then print it. He added that he went to great lengths because he couldn't get a test, that he needed to travel because he was not an essential worker. So there's a lot of reasons why people are doing the bootleg test. Some of them, it's not that they're positive. It's that there's many places that are like, no, we're not going to waste a test on you. You could stay home. Don't travel. We need these tests for the essential workers. So those people go, look, but I'm negative. So even if they are negative, the problem is it's a crime. And that's, uncool. So when you tell me, look, all we have to do is test everybody, I told you, the testing isn't working. And then people are like, what about at-home tests? People can at-home, do you think the average at-home tester is going to really shove that swab as far back as they need to? I mean, people are scared to stick things up their nose. They start to gag. They start to, as soon as they go just a millimeter too far, they start to feel like, so I just don't see, I just don't see people, doing it correctly. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So Fauci has spoken up, and he's actually going against Biden's new COVID chief, saying the U.S. does not need to go into a 6-week national lockdown because, quote, help is on the way. They believe that all Americans are going to be having access to a vaccine by April. Dr. Fauci says such extreme action will not be necessary as long as citizens continue to wear face masks, social distance, and wash their hands. Fauci also claimed, according to Daily Mail, that most ordinary U.S. citizens will be able to access a vaccine in the first half of next year. They say the country reported 144,000 new coronaviruses, so that's us, on Wednesday. So, Fauci, again, has been, mixed. People have either loved him, hated him. I give him props because he's not in an easy position at all. And it's really, really hard to be a doctor and then also appease, politics and the economy and all these, forces. But I disagree with him that help is on the way in that I really don't see a lot of people getting the vaccine. And I unfortunately do think, not that I'm saying I want a national lockdown. I don't. But I believe we are going to have a quote-unquote dark winter, not to quote Joe Biden, but, it is going to be rough because we have flu and pneumonia season. This is when we do see a lot of deaths and hospitals overextended. So, not going to be easy. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOC-DALI.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, Please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged, in a sense, against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Minneapolis City Charter requires that there be a police department and that it's funded and staffed based on population figures. That's not what happened when the City Council moved $1.1 million from the police to the health department to fund violence interrupters who would mediate conflicts. Now Minneapolis police cannot keep up with the violent crime in the area that is spiraling out of control. Police Chief Madaria Arredondo says they need help.
I have 74 people who are no longer alive in this city because they've been killed. I've got almost 500 people who've been shot and wounded in this city. We can talk about reimagining policing. I'm talking about what is necessary today in this city, and we need extra resources.
A helicopter with U.S.-led multinational force and observers in the Egyptian Sinai crashed on Thursday, killing 8 members of the peacekeeping force, including 6 Americans. The MFO protects 3,900 square miles in the Sinai. USA Radio News. Jeffrey Toobin has been fired by The New Yorker following an investigation into last month's incident in which he exposed himself and other improprieties on a work Zoom call. Toobin announced his dismissal in a tweet on Wednesday. A spokesman for The New Yorker also confirmed Toobin's firing to Variety. The spokesperson said, "As a result of our investigation, Jeffrey Toobin is no longer affiliated with the company." Russia has claimed on Wednesday its Sputnik V vaccine is 92% effective at preventing people from COVID-19. Russia also said the results were based on a small number of trials. Volunteers who had contracted COVID-19. On Monday, Pfizer said their shot, developed under President Trump's Operation Warp Speed, is more than 90% effective. Russia registered their vaccine for public use in August, the first country to do so, ahead of the start of large-scale trials in September. Tonight's Thursday night football game pits Philip Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts against the Titans in Music City, Tennessee. 8:20 p.m. Eastern is kickoff on Fox. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DR-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOCDALI. If you guys could be patient, we will get to your calls. We're going to have a guest, and I'm kind of excited about this next guest. I know many of us are kind of panicked as to are we going back on lockdown. And again, there's nothing definite yet. This is, you know, Biden's new COVID-19 advisor. It was a suggestion that he made for us to go back on lockdown. I know a lot of industries are kind of nervous about that, while at the same time people are kind of nervous about COVID rising cases. But, you know, one thing we've kind of talked about on the show is the longevity of colleges and how can colleges continue to survive in this virtual, you know, in this new virtual setting. And I think a lot of us are having trouble conceptualizing what a post-COVID college campus will look like. And, you know, college isn't just about the classes, and it isn't just about hooking up. Colleges make leaders, and they make future leaders, and they do this not only with clubs, not only with, you know, student council and clubs and all that, but also with Greek life. So here to kind of talk about how colleges are going to kind of progress with this is Cynthia Eubanks, Executive Director of the Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority. Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so it definitely is challenging times. You have been a part of, let me find the university you're with. You're with Allen University, correct?
No. Well, I used to be with Allen University. Actually, I'm the executive director for Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority. And today is our 90th founding day.
Yes, yes. Oh, and by the way, let me just say congratulations on 98 years of, I mean, you know, just, I just, you know, 98 years of, you know, sisterhood, scholarship service. We're big fans. That's, it's fantastic. So, you know, people are freaked out. They thought that they would be over COVID. They thought that, you know, their kids could go back to school. Doesn't look that way. What are you seeing on the college front?
Well, for us as an organization on the college front, we have over 500 chapters.
Oh, we're losing you. Oh, I think she's cutting out. Okay, we'll try to get her back. She's cutting out. Yeah, it's interesting. I was never Greek. I kind of came from a family that was poor, and I was the first person I got to get to, you know, go to college. And Daniel, let me know when she's back on. And so I, you know, worked a bunch of part-time jobs when I was in school, and so I never got to, unfortunately, you know, be a part of Greek life. My son, however, my husband, we're both Greek, and my son's going to AEPI. My husband's AEPI. Hopefully, my younger son will do the same. And, you know, the one thing I've learned is how much, you know, service they do. They I love that. And in fact, you know, my son with his Catholic school that he goes to, they have to do service. They have to do community service because it's not just about, you know, learning. It's about paying it, you know, paying it forward. Is she back on or no? Oh, okay. Let me get you a trouble line for her. It's a frustrating time, and I really get. I'm gonna give this to you right now, Daniel. Thank you. I apologize. See, guys, this is why I worry. We really need people working power. We need people working our phone lines. God bless all those essential workers out there, honestly. So 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. College campuses obviously are kind of struggling with some of the most, severe of the economic ramifications of COVID-19 and not being able to have kids come back because they drive on people being on campus. It's a community. It's thousands upon thousands of students, and these students put money into the system. These students put, you know, they're the ones that, you know, buy food. They're the ones that, you know, go to the bookstore. They're the ones that, you know, go to the bars. And so it's unfortunate to see that, you know, it's just, you know, and honestly, I just wish that we could, I don't know. I think where I stand with colleges and all that is I do understand that, well, going virtual might be here to stay. And I think going tech is an advantage that allows us to avoid, you know, other illnesses as they come. But the college experience is just something that you can't really replicate, you know? And so, you know, when we see that, it's, yeah. You know, interesting. Speaking of private school, we're being told that Jared and Ivanka Trump were forced to withdraw their kids from a Jewish day school. And this was a Jewish day school, we're being told. Milton Gottesman Jewish Day School. They had to move them to Melvin Berman Hebrew Academy. Because apparently sources were worried that the Trumps were going to expose other kids to COVID. So, you could take that as you will. Was it a political thing? Was it a, you know, but, you know, schools are trying to move more towards Fantastic. Schools are trying to move more towards hybrid. You could see them grappling, trying with, you know, how do we keep people on campus and, you know, how do we keep people safe? So luckily we have our guest back again. Thank you again, Cynthia. Glad that you could join us. So go ahead. You were talking more about Sigma Gamma Rho.
Yes, and sorry about the disconnection here. As far as Sigma Gamma Rho goes, especially working with our undergraduate chapters on our college campuses, when we first saw COVID, the pandemic starting to really enter here into the country and really have an impact and effect on our undergraduates on the various college campuses all over the country, what we did as an organization was we immediately began to transfer all of our practices to a virtual format and really utilized this past summer to prepare virtual platforms for our members to still be able to engage within the organization, encourage them to engage on their college campuses, and really learn to embrace our current format, which, of course, is virtual, and making sure that we are all staying safe in this environment.
How did that affect rush numbers and recruitment this year?
Well, for the spring, in the middle of COVID, we were very fortunate that we were well into our membership process for the spring. So for us as an organization, although we were striving for exceptional numbers this past spring, we were very fortunate that although we did have a number of college campuses that ended up canceling or delaying their intake process for our members, we still were able to meet, actually, and exceed all of our projected membership numbers in the spring. Now, here in the fall, what we've done is we've, again, converted this summer our entire intake process to a virtual platform, and that within that platform, we are, again, very grateful that we're still engaging undergraduates on the campuses. We're still engaging aspirants as they're interested in the organization with everything, of course, focusing on our mission, which is, of course, to enhance the lives of women and children and their families globally.
Fantastic. And 98 years of you doing this. We're going to be coming up on a hard break. We have another minute. Can you just quickly talk about what type of service, what some of your members have done?
Oh, that's my pleasure. As trailblazing women standing on the shoulders of our educators, we have some wonderful community impact. Our partnership with USA Swimming for our Swim 1922 initiative, our partnership with the March of Dimes, as well as St. Jude's and Sisters Network, are just some of the relationships that we have as an organization as we reach out to the community, of course, to enhance their lives and make situations better for everyone.
Awesome. Cynthia, how can people find out more information about you and Sigma Gamma Rho?
Oh, yes. You can visit us at our website, www.sgro1922.org, or you can visit us as we get ready for our centennial celebration at our centennial site, which is sgro100.org, where we have already committed to 1 million service hours and $1 million in charitable giving.
Oh my God, awesome. Bless you and your team. Thank you. Can't wait to have you back. All right, guys, don't go away. 1-877-DOC-DELLY.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hey, guys. Dr. Dahlia here.
We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely. Hi, guys. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have kids or grandkids or students who have boo-boos? We all do. And sometimes we need to take care of the cut, the fever, the burn, the tummy ache before we get to a medical provider. Well, me and other physicians have created an easy guide called The Art of the Boo-Boo. The Art of the Boo-Boo helps you with easy bite-sized chapters and guides you through the most common issues infants and kids face. Get it on Amazon or on my website at drdahlia.com at a very low price. Give it to your teacher or family as gifts. The Art of the Boo-Boo. We make it easy.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners. Lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Okay, this headline is going to kind of scare people, but everybody relax. I'll walk you through it, okay? There's a headline saying that the average child has lost 3 months of their life, their lifespan, 3 months, because of the lockdown. Now, where did they get this? You know, didn't the lockdown save lives? Wasn't its job supposed to save lives? Why is it cutting our kids' lifespan? If, let's say, their lifespan is going to be up to, like, 98 years by then, why would it shorten it to 97 and three quarters? Well, because what they did is they looked at the loss of academic instruction. So this is a study, and let me give credit where credit's due. It's out of Seattle Children's Research Institute. And what they did is they looked at how many hours or weeks of schooling each child lost because of the pandemic. And they found that 54 days of instruction, or about 11 weeks of schooling, could translate into health. This is why the American Academy of Pediatrics had said kids need to get back in school. So medical groups have been debating, you know, the danger of COVID to the grown-ups versus the danger of COVID to kids and the danger of them not being able to still be academically challenged around other kids, you know, getting, you know, their immune system worked up, things like that. And so, you know, when the American Academy of Pediatrics are like, we got to get the kids back to school, that was kind of a big gutsy, that was some cojones. Being able to go, look, you know, and to agree with President Trump. Usually we don't see a lot of academics, you know, agree with the president. Usually a lot of these academic groups, you know, run a little bit more, you know, to the left. So for them to go, look, we got to get the kids back to school. Me, I hesitated a little bit. And the reason why I hesitated a little bit, and I'm very honest about this, is because I believe for the most part, it's fine in kids. Kids won't get a serious COVID. But this COVID is not acting like the typical cold. It might be a virus that decides to hang out in the body. And we're seeing that some people can have the virus for days, if not months. And so I don't like a child being exposed to something that we 100% don't know. It's very, very new. And we don't know if it could cause cancer or other sorts of issues. So playing it safe and not forcing teachers to go back when they don't feel ready might be the safest side to be on right now until we know more. That being said, I think for every day a child's out of school, it's detrimental. So I think the majority of us could agree kids need to be around other kids and kids need to be in school. You get nervous seeing your kids in a bubble. I do. My son is doing homeschool. Every now and then, actually not every now and then, every week we get an alert from the school that those on the hybrid plan, they've had to send, you know, classes home because somebody had COVID. And to me, I think the back and forth was going to be detrimental. So I'm like, look, you just, you know, just do the online because most likely you're going to have to keep coming back home. And this way you don't get yelled at, you know, by the teacher when you're late because you get yelled at a lot. And you do stupid. And, you know, my son's been okay with it, but it just really gives me the heebie-jeebies that he's not among other kids, that he's not, you know. Now, mind you, a lot of the other kids are doing pot, so that's a plus. You know, I think a lot of kids are having sex, obviously, and, you know, so, you know, maybe we're kind of solving some issues, but he's going to have to live. He's going to have to, you know, be out there, and he's going to have to, you know, experience things, and, you know, he's been home now for a while, you know. Yeah, he sees his friends and all that, but now we're back on another lockdown. So what they did is they looked at, there was a total of 5.53 million years of life that were lost across 24.2 million people. So what they did is they extrapolated, and I get what they did in Seattle, and it was nice that they did that, but what they did is they looked at what sort of academic losses these kids had, how much regression they had academically, and what that means in terms of life expectancy. There's been correlations between those with education and those with life expectancy. And it's not so much that, well, you know, somebody who has a college degree might be able to get a better job that has insurance. They also actually found when they filtered that out that people with, shall we say, higher education, you know, might also embrace, shall we say, you know, maybe healthier habits and things like that. So they have found correlations between that. Although, unfortunately, you know, I can't tell you how many doctors I know got some really bad cancers. I mean, it's just, so many people I trained with have died from cancer. And you know, I wonder if, you know, people are kind of looking at that because I think a lot of us doctors are exposed to things and exposed to viruses and exposed to things that possibly could be putting us at risk. So in my neck of the woods, I live in Nevada. And we have Clark County. Clark County School District is, I think, the fifth largest in the country. And we're having some issues in our neck of the woods on when to have kids go back to school. There's been a lot of discussions across the country on can kids go back in January. Right? You know, they took this semester off. Can they go back in January? And see, I found this very concerning that people were like, okay, you know what? Everybody will go back in January. January is when we're in peak flu season. All right? January is when people come back from Christmas break. They picked up whatever on Christmas break. They're so, you know, happy to see their friends and all that. And all these activities start to resume, right, in January. And then people start giving things to each other. And so January, to me, is worrisome. And, in fact, that's kind of what happened this year. January and February is when we started to see the numbers or identify them, although I could swear we probably had this year in, you know, December, November, COVID. But that's when things start to hit the fan. And then coming into February, March, it just didn't let up. It started to lighten up in the summer. We still had cases, but it started to lighten up in the summer. So if you're telling me, look, guys, we got through the worst of it this fall, the kids could go back January 2nd or 3rd or whenever Christmas break is over, I'm like, what are you talking about? That's when the poop really hits the fan. So I don't know what to advise. And from what we're understanding, the teachers union and the school district in my neck of the woods aren't thinking that the hybrid plan that the Clark County School District has is quote unquote adequate for students to come back. So what is then adequate? I mean, we're going to have to define this. When are we going to let our kids go back to school? What is going to be adequate? Well, is it room? Is it being able to social distance and have gym-sized rooms for classes? Is it teacher PPE? And so that teachers need to be able to teach kids having protective gear, you know, and maybe the mask isn't enough, you know, maybe they need a mask and a shield, maybe they need gloves, maybe they need, you know, to feel protected. Is it that many school districts don't have enough substitute teachers, don't have enough backup teachers? I mean, you know, in my business, we own a salon. If our stylists, let's say, start to cough, all right, we don't know if it's flu, we don't know if it's a cold, we don't know if it's COVID, so we're going to have them leave, get tested, you know, and come back when they're healthy. Well, we're coming into cough and cold season. I mean, every teacher I know and parent and kid is going to be coughing and sneezing. So, you know, I think weigh in where we're going to decide to move forward and we're going to, shall we say, agree that a school is ready is going to be our attitudes towards a sniffling kid, towards a teacher who, you know, might have been exposed, towards hiring and having ample staff. If the average school district is short on teachers, there's no way the school district is going to be ready for teachers to go out and be on quarantine. Now, again, if our attitudes change towards quarantine, if our attitudes toward the virus go, you know what? You know, who's had it before? If you know, you're not super sick, we'll just move on. And I'm not saying we do that, but if our attitudes change, then, yeah, we're going to be able to open up. But if we're still going to freak out that anybody that has a cough could have COVID, that anybody that has been exposed to somebody in their family with COVID needs to be on quarantine, the quarantining is going to, you know, be an ongoing every 14-day thing. So I don't see how in our current state with our current, shall we say, approach to COVID, a school is going to be able to adequately train. Is it more damaging for a child to go to school and then be sent home? Or go to school and then be sent home? Or a kid being afraid to sneeze or cough? Because they learn pretty early on, wait a second, if I cough or sneeze, I'm going to be sent home. So they try to hide it. You know, so you kind of wonder, you know, how that affects kids. And it also depends on the grade. You got some teenagers going, let me go home. You got, you know, 6-year-olds that go, I want to go to school. 1-877-DOC-SALLY, taking your questions. Bye.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.